This is the What Now Podcast.
When I think about some of the greatest challenges for our youth today, I think a lot of those challenges are brought on by technology. So many loud voices. Our youth are being targeted in a really specific way. I think another challenge is apathy. I see depression and anxiety, and especially among our young women. The CDC released a study, I think it was in 2021, that 3 in 5 teen girls persistently feel sad or hopeless.
This is the What Now Podcast, where we have meaningful discussions to support, educate, and inspire members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I am Mary Alice Hatch, your host. Join me as I speak with Michelle Craig, former first counselor in the Young Women General Presidency for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as she shares her experience as a general leader and what she sees as some of the most pressing needs of our youth today, and what we can do to strengthen our faith, identify and magnify our gifts, and connect with others in meaningful ways. Today, I'm here with Michelle Craig. Welcome.
Hello.
It's so wonderful to have you with us today. Thank you for taking the time.
Well, I'm thrilled.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. I've been an admirer, and I've loved your talks you've given in conference. I love everything you stand for. And many of you listening might know that Michelle Craig was recently released as the first counselor in the Young Women's General Presidency for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I can only imagine the responsibility you held as a global representative for the young women of the church. So I would love to invite you to just help us understand what your responsibilities were and what a typical week in the life of a general authority leader looks like. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Sure. First off, it was a tremendous privilege and honor, and one that I look back on now and honestly, I pinch myself. I can't believe I was blessed to be able to do that and to be involved in the work at that level for 5 years. It is, you know, that being said, it was amazing, but it is a lot of work. There are 9 women that serve as general officers, the presidencies of the Relief Society, Young Women, and primary organizations. And we each have offices in Salt Lake in the Relief Society building, which is adjacent to the church administration. It's right in the campus there in Salt Lake by the church office building and very close to the church administration building. Mm-hmm. I live in Orem, which is about 45 minutes from Salt Lake without traffic. And generally, as general officers, I can speak for the Young Women organization. I was in Salt Lake 3 or 4 days a week. I would leave my home around 6:30 in the morning to be there by 7:15. And I usually would leave the office around 6, you know, between 6 and 7 and get home later. So they were long days. Generally, we have committee meetings and different meetings scheduled Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Often, we were there on a Monday or a Friday. If we weren't in the office, there's always a lot to do as far as preparing talks, different assignments. We all served on different committees of the church. So we're not just involved in young women things, but there were also other committees of the church that the sisters are involved in, which is really remarkable. We had a lot of weekend assignments that would include travel, sometimes domestically in the United States, sometimes locally. A couple times a year, we would travel internationally for about 2 weeks at a time. So very busy, diverse, stretching opportunity that I loved it. It's pretty remarkable. The committees that the sisters serve on, some of the committees that I served on were related to young women, whether it's camp properties or youth magazines or different things that our presidency would be involved in, curriculum. Some of the committees, you know, there are sisters in Salt Lake that are on temple and family history committees, the missionary executive Council, Priesthood and Family Council. I served on the Scriptures Committee. So they weren't necessarily organization focused, but global. And it was a privilege, and the voice of a lot of different people and women are needed and valued and sought after. So it's, yeah, internationally. And it's, I really saw that my experience was so limited, and those international trips are such a blessing because we see congregations and families and individuals all over the world, and your eyes are opened as to what life is like and what the church is like and how many good and consecrated people there are that love the Lord and are trying their best to serve Him.
Mm-hmm. I know that would probably be so interesting to go to so many different cultures where they are, you know, it's neat because wherever you go in the world, the church is the same, right?
Right, right.
I love that. The teachings are the same. You could be in an African village and they're still on, you know, the same lesson and come follow me.
Yes. It's, you feel at home.
Uh-huh. Wherever you consistency go. Is so wonderful. But yeah, as a general leader in Young Women's, you probably saw and heard what some of the most pressing problems are for our youth today. I mean, what would you say are some of the greatest challenges our youth face today?
Gosh, it is a blessing to be alive at this time, but it does present some unique challenges and problems, as you said. And I think when I think about some of the greatest challenges of our youth today, I think a lot of those challenges are brought on by technology,
mm-hmm.
and all so many loud voices, and our youth are being targeted in a really specific way. And so that's a whole different conversation, but I think another challenge is apathy.
Mm-hmm.
I see depression and anxiety, and especially among our young women. The CDC released a study, I think it was in 2021, that 3 in 5 teen girls persistently feel sad or hopeless. That's devastating. And 30% of those girls, the sadness and despair that they feel leads them to think of suicide sometimes. So that's pretty stark and pretty sobering,
mm-hmm.
the emotional and mental health challenges. I think so many of our youth really want to know and struggle to know their identity,
mm-hmm.
and their purpose and how they can make a difference in this world. So those are just, they're a little disjointed, some of them, but those are some things that I've seen firsthand.
Well, the social media kind of ties into the whole mental health piece, the suicide piece. It seems pretty interconnected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, they live a life of comparison. When we were growing up, there were no cell phones.
Oh.
I didn't know what people were doing.
My children didn't have cell phones until they were seniors in high school or college. It's just a different world. And I hope that we're getting better about having these conversations and equipping our children. I read once in a book that handing a child a cell phone without filters or conversations or guards is like setting them loose on the streets of New York City and saying, good luck. I mean, we have to have hard conversations, and we have to be willing to equip our children with the necessary skills that they can navigate and mm-hmm. learn how to be intentional. And the church released a couple of years ago a Taking Charge of Technology resource for youth and families that I think is really a blessing. And I hope parents and families and our youth are familiar with that.
Just where can you find that?
Some core principles. If you go to Gospel Library, and I have my phone turned off right now, but Gospel Library, there's a tile for youth. And if you click on that tile for youth, it's one of the first things that shows up, Taking Charge of Technology. And it talks about having a purpose, having a plan, and being willing to pause, to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you're going in and you're taking these opportunities to meet with the youth, what sorts of things are you talking to them about? Are you talking to them about social media? Are you talking to them about things that, you know, you've researched and realized this is a real need with the youth today? We're going to help address it. How do you interact with them?
When I would visit, we would visit as a Young Women Presidency and Advisory Council. We would visit, if we didn't have an assignment, we were in wards every Sunday. And I most often had a chance to speak to the young women, or when I was or am invited to speak. And sometimes there's a specific ask about the, you know, technology or things, but overall, we would really try to focus on, and I would try to focus my efforts on some core root principles and doctrines, you know, identity and purpose. Mm-hmm. I remember having the remarkable blessing and opportunity of our Young Women Presidency meeting with the first presidency a number of times. And President Cordon asking the question of President Nelson, what do our youth need to know? What do you want us to teach our young women? And President Nelson immediately saying they need to know their identity and their purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I think my message is focused on those core doctrines, you know, their identity, who they really are as beloved daughters of God. And we have a prophet who's telling us the labels that really count, our identities, are children of God, children of the covenant, and disciples of Jesus Christ. And mm-hmm. they have a purpose, and they're needed. They're desperately needed, what they have to offer.
Right. I mean, everyone wants purpose. Everyone wants to be needed. Everyone has a little identity crisis sometimes. When you circle back to like the basics like that, like who you are, you're a child of God, you have purpose, you're here for a reason, and help them see that, because there is an attack. The adversary is attacking identity.
Oh, we see that all around. He's attacking identity from our children. I mean, it runs the gamut. And I think Satan, if he can confuse us and who we really are and our purpose, and everybody wants a purpose, like you said, and our youth are wired that way, and they want to make a difference, and they want to reach out to those, you know, on the margins. And I think when we know who we are and our purpose and our gathering Israel and our loving God and loving others, and working within our circle of influence, that they can find peace and purpose in those things.
It's so true, because I feel like, you know, each of us who work with youth in our homes or in our callings, we want to know how to support these kids.
Yeah.
And it's hard because every child kind of receives information differently, or they might not be ready to receive certain, you know, I don't want to say advice, but we're trying to guide them and coach them and help them through these difficult times. I mean, they're like on a tough journey in junior high, high school, college. Yeah. I mean, they're making pivotal generational decisions that can affect the outcome of their life.
Yeah. Yeah. And we love the youth. And I think I grew up in a time, I'm 60, where I was content to go to church and be spoon-fed, and people talked to us like, you know, you're the future leaders. Well, we have a prophet who's telling our youth, you are leaders now. You know, you need to be prepared, he said, to step up and take your rightful place in the kingdom and to be leaders, to lead out. And that's what we need. They need experiences. And I think as we work with youth in our homes and in our classes and quorums, we need to be prepared to let them lead, and not just mm-hmm. to throw them into the deep end, but like you said, to mentor, to guide, to help them. And we need to be okay to let it get a little bit messy as mm-hmm. they have experiences and as they're figuring out what it takes. And I hope that we as adults that are farther ahead in our life journey, take every chance to really look our youth in the eyes and to affirm their true identity and purpose. Mm-hmm. And let them know that we believe in them and they have the capacity. They were not sent here to fail. They've been prepared and they have so many who are so eager to help them succeed.
I like what you're talking about with leadership. I feel like the church is doing that. Like, and I think in young women's, they don't teach. I haven't been in young women's in a long time, but I think they let the kids teach now, right?
Yes, at least part of every lesson. Maybe not 100% of the time, every single lesson, because I do think it's important that our youth see good teaching modeled and hear from adult leaders who strongly testify of Jesus Christ. But our youth have the capacity to teach. And what we all know that when you teach a lesson or a class or prepare a talk, you gain so much more, you know, as you prepare. And our youth need that. And they do a tremendous job. They do a tremendous job. And how can we help give them the needed support so that they feel successful and they know what it's like? And for different youth, it will look differently. Some may be prepared just to run and teach the whole time. Others, maybe it's, could you read this paragraph and tell us what you think about it? Or just, it's going to look different for every youth, and even sometimes the same youth at different times, depending what's going on in their life. But they are completely capable and they do a tremendous job.
Yeah, they really do. It's interesting because we are now in the YSA ward in the San Clemente YSA, and it is the best calling in the church, I'm going to say. It is so much fun and these kids are incredible. So they're now in the bishopric leadership. So it's interesting because these kids have served missions. They've been in really good structured leadership positions. And then they came off their missions and they weren't as much in that sort of leadership role. I mean, they're interviewing people for baptism, for heaven's sake. I mean, it's really impressive what they do on these missions. And now it's really neat to see them up in the bishopric and being part of the ward council and being part of guiding the different, they don't have young women's in YSA, but helping mentor and embrace and love their brothers and sisters in the war. It's really beautiful.
I love that. And they do, they have such capacity and they've had remarkable experience. And sometimes we just need to get out of the way and learn from them. And anyway, it's an exciting time.
Mm-hmm. I know because we're called as advisors. So I work in the Relief Society and they kind of need some mentoring because they've been on missions, but they haven't led like a Relief Society. And so you kind of have to shepherd them a little bit. But once you train them and you show them what to do, it's amazing what they're capable of.
Yeah. And I love the way you use the word mentor. And that's what we do. And sometimes that actually takes more work or is, you know, figuring that out. It's not just, like I said, just saying your hands off and you're doing nothing. But what does it take to help them succeed and to have the experiences and feel the joy of service and making a difference? And anyway, and like I said, for every youth, for every young adult, for every adult, it looks different depending on our life experiences and what we have going on. But really that's what the Savior did, didn't he? I mean, to help every interaction with another person was a chance to lift and love and point others to his Father and ask inspired questions and give inspired invitations.
And that's another thing you're making a really good point about. This generation likes to ask questions. I feel like we were Generation O obedience. We just did it.
Yes. And who was it? Sherry Dew? Uh-huh. I can't remember that said, having questions does not mean that you're questioning, but rather you're seeking. I mean, it's okay to have questions. And I think if we don't know all the answers, it's okay. We can work on finding them and we can go to correct sources. Mm-hmm. And we're so used to things coming quickly. I order something from Amazon and if it's not here the next day, I feel like, oh, what?
You know, I know.
And we're used to things coming fast, but some of the best questions and answers take time. And we need to be okay and comfortable to allow ourselves and others to ask questions and ask those hard questions and not make people feel like they're rebelling if they have questions.
Yeah. Sherry Dew, I think she wrote that book, Worth the Wrestle.
Yes, that's it.
It is fantastic. And she talks about her own niece who had kind of this journey of faith and was doubting and discouraged and not sure about certain things. And she's like, bring me all your questions. She invited her to bring the questions. And that was a pivotal thing in keeping her in the church was, yes, bring me your questions. Let's go through them. Let's meet every week and we'll go over every single question you have. And I feel like in my generation, it was more, you don't really question because then you lack faith or right. whatever. But now I think it actually emboldens them. It makes them stronger. It makes them more committed. Once they get answers, they're like, okay, I'm in. You know, they just need the right sources to find their answers.
And I think it's important while we're searching for answers that we, our prophet has told us, give the Lord equal time mm-hmm. and go to right sources. And if we're spending time in God's word every day, and if we can get answers to the core questions, some of the branches and the leaves, they don't make a difference. Do you know what I'm saying? That we maybe don't get hung up on some of those things when we have a testimony of God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and the restoration. But if we're giving the Lord equal time and wrestling and going to right sources, answers will come and they'll mean more. And like you said, they're all in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a really great podcast with Anthony Sweat about this about seekers of truth. They're seeking, they want to know. And he tells you how to identify a good source and how to tell if it's a bad source. It's actually very clarifying. It's such a good podcast. So if you're in that headspace right now and you need some clarity, that's a good one to listen to help you.
I would go back and listen to that. I love Anthony Sweat.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's so great. But, you know, getting back to the children and the youth, you know, we live in a world of comparison. That is our world we live in now. I mean, social media has destroyed the confidence of so many of our young people, but often they only see visible gifts, highly visible gifts as important when there are so many less conspicuous gifts that have just as much value, but it might be harder to identify those. And in the 2021 Christmas devotional, you spoke about less conspicuous gifts. So how can we help them see the gifts and talents they have and identify some of their gifts that might be less conspicuous or quiet gifts?
You know, that's a great question. And I think for so many years, I really struggled with this because I don't play an instrument and I'm not good at any sports and I'm not an art, just those visible gifts that we tend to think of. I don't have those. And I would just really dread in those young women classes would teacher would pass out a piece of paper and say, write down some of your gifts or things you're good at. And I would just honestly be stumped and think, I have no idea. And so that talk came out of a personal wrestle. For many years. But when we think about people in our lives that have made a difference, that have known us and seen us deeply, I think we would identify their gifts, life-changing gifts that have made a difference in an eternal nature. And I think that we really need the ability to see others deeply, to as adults and as youth, to put aside our own insecurities and care more about what others think about themselves and what they think about God when they're with us than what they are thinking about us. Mm-hmm. And that is a tremendous gift. I think the ability to respond to quiet nudges of the Spirit, to listen, to laugh, to appreciate nature, the ability to be still, the ability to create, to organize, the ability to create a refuge for yourself or for those that you love. Mary Alice, your gift of communication and putting out this podcast to lift and build and strengthen faith in Jesus Christ. These are all less conspicuous gifts. But I think in a society that's loud and noisy and where we're being attacked on all sides, think these are the gifts that can strengthen and that are more needed than some of the visible gifts that we tend to think of. They're a good athlete or whatever. And I think of, I just had this thought and I, but I think one of the things we can do is communicate clearly what we see in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Amaron who told Mormon, okay, I don't have my scriptures open to that. He said, I perceive that thou art a sober child. And the next verse, Mormon identifies himself as sober. I think what we say to youth, to children, to adults, to those in our circle of influence makes a difference. And if mm-hmm. we can pray for the gift to see others deeply and communicate to them the value that we see, I think that's really important. I think we need to put down our cell phones and those devices that suck us in and really be present. We've been told as disciples of Jesus Christ to stand in holy places. And we know those places are temples, our homes, our churches. And I think that being with another person can also be a holy place. And I have a good friend who says, when you stand in holy places, be holy there. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Be present.
Oh, I like that.
Heart, mind, mm-hmm. body, spirit. And I think, yeah, we can be physically next to someone, but if we're on our phone, what message are we communicating?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in our, a less conspicuous gift to really could be to be present with other people
mm-hmm.
and the ability to ask questions of someone, tell me your story, get to know them. And the realization that everybody is carrying a burden and being kind is a gift. It's a gift that is so needed in the world today. Anyway, I think these less conspicuous gifts are really the most important gifts, and we can pray for them. And they're easy to recognize in other people, and they make a difference. And we can communicate and build those gifts in others.
I agree. You make a really good point about identifying people's gifts and telling them what you see. Because sometimes I'll clearly see someone is gifted in something and they don't see it in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we kind of express it and we share it to them, they feel like, whoa, it kind of wakens it up in them. And then they kind of start seeing themselves that way.
Yeah.
If it's someone they respect, you know? So I like that you mentioned that, because so many times we just kind of go through life observing, but we never are really sharing what we're observing with people that could really uplift and change them and help them and give them direction.
And I think, Mary Alice, another source to go when we're trying to identify gifts is patriarchal blessings.
I agree.
And it's easier for me to see a gift in somebody else and to help them recognize it than it is often to see my own gifts. And I remember, it was probably about a year or two ago, going through my patriarchal blessing and making columns, but writing down, what does Heavenly Father see in me? And what are gifts that I've been given? And what are gifts that perhaps are dormant, that I'm not seeing in myself? And maybe pray and work intentionally to develop those gifts. And what kind of experiences do I need to develop that? And also just see myself with different eyes.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I love that you mentioned patriarchal blessings, because I think every person's patriarchal blessing lists some of their gifts and talents.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the blessing experience, is identifying the gifts and talents that Heavenly Father sees in us. And if He sees it in us, it's got to be true.
Right. And so then I want to see it in myself and I want to act that way.
Mm-hmm.
There is power in a role. And when we see ourselves as gatherers or, you know, disciples of Jesus Christ, or these different personality characteristics that are perhaps identified in our patriarchal blessings or that people have told us they see in us, there's power. And when we can begin to believe that, we act differently. Perhaps mm-hmm. we speak differently, we dress differently, we see ourselves differently when we understand who we really are.
It's like self-fulfilled prophecy, right? Yes. I mean, you kind of manifest that once you believe it, you start changing behaviors.
Yes. We communicate a lot by our actions, perhaps more with our actions than our words. And when we give our complete attention to someone and really want to see them and know them, they feel that and it makes a difference. And that can be, honestly, a two-year-old or younger and an adult. Mm-hmm. But I think we communicate a lot about potential and worth when we are fully present. And we can be in the right place at the right time, but if we're not there in a way that allows the Holy Ghost to communicate with us, we're missing a lot. You know,
that's a really good point.
Sitting in sacrament meeting, but we're scrolling. Is the Holy Ghost going to be able to communicate with us? Or if we're sitting with our child, but we're on the phone or whatever, are we going to miss perhaps a nudge from the Spirit or the opportunity to look someone in the eyes and really see them deeply and sense a need?
It's so true. I mean, I just feel like if I'm with somebody, I've made a conscious effort to not have my phone out mm-hmm. because it's too, like, I'll get a text and it's tempting to want to read the text, or like a call might come in. I feel like, oh gosh, I should probably take that. I just yep. put it away.
Yeah.
Or if I go walk with my husband, I leave my phone at home, you know, because it sends a direct message to him that I am there. I am present. I care about what you're saying. And I care about you.
That's so good, Mary Alice. I think
my husband's working on that. We'll be at dinner and he's like answering texts, doing all these things. He's like, oh no, I'm listening. Keep talking. I'm like, no, you're not.
Look at me. You know, if your eyes are down on a screen, I'm not feeling seen or heard
I know. I'm like, it needs to be in another room. I don't feel seen and heard.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But I love this one quote I wanted to read that you said in General Conference, October 2020.
Uh-huh.
It says, seeing ourselves as God sees us, perhaps the most important things for us to see clearly are who God is and who we really are, sons and daughters of heavenly parents with a divine nature and eternal destiny. Ask God to reveal these truths to you along with how he feels about you. The more you understand your true identity and purpose soul deep, the more it will influence everything in your life. Mm-hmm. I love how you said soul deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's one thing to say the words and it's another to feel it and know it in your soul and in your every fiber of your being mm-hmm. that who we are and who we're meant to be.
And we have to pause. Like one thing I've started doing is after my prayers, I've been stopping and pausing for like 2 minutes just to listen for impressions that I might get, because it's hard to really get the answers if we just pray and then we just pop up and go about our day.
Yeah, I do that too often, you know, just in my prayer and either my head hits the pillow or I go about. But I mentioned in a General Conference talk as well, once those questions I heard Elder Kim Clark pose one time, but when we really ask, What am I doing that I should start doing, or what am I doing that I should stop doing, or just listening to other impressions that come, we get ideas. Things come to our mind, and often we don't recognize those as personal revelation. But that's mm-hmm. what it is. It's the Holy Ghost prompting us with ideas and thoughts, and having the courage to act on those will make a tremendous difference. But we need to ask the question, and we need to be still, like you said, and just listen to what nudges and what promptings and what thoughts come from the Holy Ghost.
And on that, I just want to read one other quote from you in that General Conference, October 2020, that's so good. It says, as with all gifts the Father so willingly offers, seeing deeply requires us to ask him, like you were just saying, and then act. Ask to see others as he does, as his true sons and daughters with infinite and divine potential, then act by loving, serving, affirming their worth and potential as prompted. As this becomes the pattern of our lives, we will find ourselves becoming true followers of Jesus Christ. Others will be able to trust our hearts with theirs. And in this pattern, we will also discover our own true identity and purpose. I love that.
Thank you. You know,
and it's action.
Heavenly Father helps so much with those talks. Sometimes you read them, I'm like, oh, wow, Heavenly, like, I can't believe that came out of my mouth. You know, Heavenly Father helps so much. And in the end, those talks are His.
Right? I mean, don't you feel like you were so amplified in this calling?
Yes. I think that's one of the things I learned from that, from the calling, was that God, He lives, He loves us, and His grace magnifies and blesses and increases our capacity
mm-hmm.
in every way. And what we bring is a willing heart, and He does the work through us.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about all the speaking engagements, all the things you need to be very visible for. And I mean, did you ever feel like sometimes you had prepared messages and the Spirit just inspired you to say additional
yes,
things?
Definitely.
Depending on the audience? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember hearing Elder Bednar speak once, and I can't, it was some time at the beginning of my calling. Maybe it was, I can't remember the timing exactly, but he talked about when he sits on the stand, he often looks out and just prays who is the one person that might need to hear something today. And he would pray for the one. And maybe that was multiple ones, but I remember I would try to do that, to sit on the stand and just really look at the faces of those in the audience and just pray for an open heart. I would prepare, and I still do my part to prepare, but I don't want to be so tied to the message that I've prepared that I am not open to what the Lord, perhaps a message that He has for an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened so often that the Lord would inspire, and then I would just need to have the courage to set aside my prepared remarks.
And I know that does take courage if you get that prompting and you think, okay, I'm going off script.
Yep. And sometimes someone would come and say, oh, thank you. You know, I needed to hear blank, blank, blank. And I'm thinking, did that even come out of my mouth? And maybe it didn't. Maybe it's just, that's what the Holy Ghost communicated to someone. And when we listen to messages, I often say, you know, just be aware of impressions, and the most important learnings will come from the Spirit. He's the teacher.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I always find that when I teach in Release Society or things like that, I feel sometimes I come with this whole prepared PowerPoint, you know, then I'm like, wow, this is going in a different direction. And it's just so inspired. It's so uplifting. It's so edifying. And I'm like, okay, we're just going with this.
And it takes courage. And I think, yeah, to do our part to prepare, but then to be willing to be led by the Spirit and from comments that are made by those that are listening or whatever. There's so much learning that takes place as you're teaching and testifying.
Well, I want to wrap up by just saying, you know, what have you learned from your calling and how has it changed you?
That's a good question. And I think I would just reiterate what we just talked about. I have learned that God is a magnifier. He takes our loaves and our fishes and our best offerings and makes them enough when we offer wholeheartedly. And whether that's our two mites or loaves and fishes, it will be enough when it's done with love of God and when we give our best efforts. I knew intellectually before, but now I have a firsthand knowledge of how the gospel is spreading throughout the world and the difference it's making in individual lives. I saw so many good, humble people who are quietly going about doing good as Jesus Christ did, who are preparing, who are blessing, who are consecrated, people who are finding joy in making and keeping covenants. And it is worldwide. And that has changed my heart. And I have such great confidence in the future of this church because of the youth, because of all of those that I have met throughout the world who are really quite remarkable. I have learned to trust God and to trust his timing, and that he can do impossible math, and that when we offer our whole heart, it's enough. And I've learned trust because I am the most normal person. And so often I would just feel so inadequate with the calling that I had and think, how can I do this work? But really learning to trust God and that he can do his work, and it's not about us, and that we take ourselves out of the equation and trust God and trust his timing, and miracles happen. And I have just learned that we are known and loved individually. And it's, I don't know how it happens, but I know it does. And I'm so grateful. I know that Jesus Christ lives and that we are led by a prophet of God. And it's a privilege and a blessing to be part of the work, whether it's on a local level or a general level. Miracles happen and God is real, and testimonies of Jesus Christ bring peace. It's a beautiful work, and I feel so grateful.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for sharing all these incredible insights, and thank you for consecrating your time and talents for building up the church these last 5 years. Appreciate it.
You know, it's been a privilege, and Mary Alice, thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Doing good work.
I'm trying. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the What Now podcast. Please share this episode with family, friends, and anyone you think it might help. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please take a minute to leave a positive rating and written review, which really helps the podcast to grow. If you're on Instagram, follow us at Podcast What Now for inspirational messages and highlights from our past and present episodes. We never say goodbye, we say what now. This has been a What Now podcast production.